question of why collect so many species? Can we keep up? Why bother? This is retired Professor Peter Bernhardt at the famed Botanic Gardens in Missouri, reflecting on a date last year.
So what did you do on the 14th of July? Did you fly to Paris for Bastille Day? More champagne, Claudine? Or are you a film buff who observed the birthday of Ingmar Bergman? Pass the herring, BB? I attended an open house at the herbarium of the Missouri Garden. We celebrated another milestone, so irregular it often skips a decade. They added another million mounted and labeled specimens to the collection. I've attended these events a couple of times since arriving in St. Louis back in 85, and they get better and better. For the 7 millionth accession, the party theme revolved around documenting the diversity of life on Earth. What species was chosen to bear the number 7 million? As usual, it was a careful selection to honor the science of taxonomy and a taxonomist. This time, the winner was a Bolivian tree in the ivy family, Sciadophyllum solomoni. It produced foliage and flowering branches so large, the specimen had to be split up and mounted on 4 separate sheets. The plant was unknown to Western science until the 5th of April, 2022. It was named to honor Dr. James Solomon, the curator of the entire herbarium, as he will retire soon. During Dr. Solomon's career at Missouri, he helped acquire 3.5 million specimens. A piece of Sciadophyllum solomoni was not just the lucky specimen in the queue. History and appreciation enjoyed some precedence. You might ask, why give every pressed stem a number at all? In fact, the Missouri Botanical Garden didn't start numbering until 1895, although it began acquiring mounted specimens before 1859. Number one in the herbarium is a sheet of a branch of Mexican squirrel cherry, Ardisia escalonoides. By 1895, the herbarium contained over 160,000 collections. The simplest explanation, then, is that once collections balloon, you have to keep track of every mounted sheet, as they are now the public property of the scientific world. They will be borrowed and studied, and when one figures in a publication, you need to verify its existence. That includes citing its accession number and the institution responsible for its storage and maintenance. More recently, the largest herbaria digitized their collections, making their initial examination and retrieval easier. Missouri has digitized less than half its collections, as the process is time-consuming, expensive, and speed depends on grant money and private donations. Yes, the 4 sheets of Sciadophyllum solomoni were on display but surrounded by other celebrities. There was a sheet with a sprig of Cinchona officinalis from Colombia. It was collected in 1942 during a missions expedition to find more wild quinine groves to combat malaria suffered by the military in World War II. Here was weedy little Pollichia campestris taken during Teddy Roosevelt's Smithsonian expedition to East Africa in 1909. I admired mats of the moss, Tetraplodon minioides. It has such a high tolerance for nitrogen that flies disperse its stinky spores that grow on bone, dung, and blood splatters. Every division in the herbarium, including the library and garden press, had its own table, We could eat our cake while viewing photos and PowerPoints displaying dedicated research in Latin America, Africa, Madagascar, and North America. The Mounters offered some of their best work, including a carefully composed sheet of Mariposa lilies from California, collected in 1998 by curator Mary Morello. You could still see the nectar glands on the exposed petals. Then there was that unexpected treasure from the William Brown Center devoted to economically important species. Framed under glass like a rare painting was a shirt made in the Philippines sometime in the 1950s, woven entirely from the fibers inside pineapple leaves. They are still making them, by the way. Check the internet. Everything has since gone back to its cabinet. If you think you missed something good, see if you can find a copy of the recently published The Herbarium, The Hidden World of Collecting and Preserving Plants by Maura C. Flannery, published this year. You may be shocked to learn that Australia's 900 species of wattles may not deserve the right to remain in the genus Acacia.
Now that does sound shocking, doesn't it? What's with the wattles? Are there no limits to the irreverence of those overseas botanists? They'll be refusing to celebrate Wattle Day next. That's September the 1st coming, the beginning of spring in Australia. Will winter just go on and on? Professor Peter Bernhardt at the Missouri Botanical Garden, and more from the glorious one in Denver soon.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.